I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a chasing after the wind. Ecclesiastes 1:14. I am Rob West. Life is full of pursuits and ambitions, each one pressing for our attention. Like a collage, the individual pieces may not make sense until we step back and see the bigger picture. Today, we're talking about the gift of perspective and how viewing our lives through an eternal lens can change everything. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Well, if there's one book in the Bible that invites us to zoom out and take an honest look at life, it's Ecclesiastes. It's raw, reflective, and unafraid to ask big questions. What's really worth pursuing? What has lasting value? What are we building and why? Our new study, Wisdom Over Wealth, explores the book of Ecclesiastes with these questions in mind. It helps us see how financial wisdom fits into the broader story of a life lived for God. I'll tell you how to get your copy in a moment. In our everyday financial lives, it's easy to be consumed by the immediate. This week's bills, that investment opportunity, or the looming tax deadline. Every issue seems urgent. But what if instead of focusing on just one puzzle piece, we looked at how it fits into the whole? What if we could pull back and see our finances as part of a much bigger story? That's the gift of perspective. It lifts us out of the weeds and helps us see clearly. When we understand how our financial choices connect to our spiritual priorities, we begin making wiser, more intentional decisions. Ecclesiastes invites us to take a mile-high view of not just our money, but life itself. The preacher, on whom this book is based, says he has seen all the works done under the sun and found them to be vanity, a chasing after the wind. Not because work or wealth are bad, but because when they become our ultimate goals, they leave us empty. That's a message we need in a culture that's constantly telling us to buy more, earn more, and do more. But Ecclesiastes points out that it's all meaningless if disconnected from God's purposes. This doesn't mean that wealth is meaningless. Far from it. When we view money through a biblical lens, we understand that it's not something to be worshipped or hoarded. It's a tool to be used for kingdom purposes. When stewarded wisely, wealth can be used for incredible good, to bless others, to support ministry, and to bring glory to God. That's where Ecclesiastes speaks into stewardship. It reminds us that we don't truly own anything. Everything we have is entrusted to us by God. We're stewards, not owners, and that changes everything. It changes how we think about earning, saving, giving, and even retiring. It redirects our focus from accumulation to impact. Instead of asking, how much can I gain, we begin to ask, how can I use what I have to reflect God's character? That's the heart of biblical stewardship, living with open hands, trusting God as our provider, and using what we've been given for His glory. Ecclesiastes also teaches us something else that's crucial for our financial lives, contentment. The writer encourages us to enjoy our work, to appreciate what we have, and to find joy in the simple gifts of life. It's a call to be present, to stop comparing, and to stop chasing. Whether we're in a season of plenty or in a season of little, contentment helps us stay grounded. It reminds us that peace isn't found in having more. It's found in walking with God, where we find lasting peace no matter our financial situation. So, how do we begin to cultivate this perspective? How do we step back and see our finances in light of God's larger story? Start by asking some honest questions. What truly matters to me? What do I want my financial legacy to be? How can I reflect God's values and how I manage His money? When you pause to reflect, you begin to see money not as the end goal, but as a resource to be used wisely and generously. Perspective leads to peace because it ultimately leads us back to God. It frees us from the endless striving and invites us into a deeper trust in His provision. That's why we're so excited to make our new study, Wisdom Over Wealth, available to you. Through the book of Ecclesiastes, this study can help you gain the clarity and confidence you need to steward your finances with purpose. This month, when you give a gift of $35 or more to FaithFi, we'll send you Wisdom Over Wealth as our thank you. Just visit faithfi.com/wisdom to request your copy today. That's faithfi.com/wisdom. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
If you've ever watched a mother bird protecting her nest, you know the fierce care she shows. She'll spread her wings, hovering over her young, fighting off much larger predators. And she has one goal, keeping those little ones safe. Isaiah 31, verse 5 provides a beautiful picture of God's care. Like birds hovering, the Lord Almighty will shield Jerusalem. He will shield it and deliver it. He will pass over it and will rescue it. Just as he did during the first Passover, the Lord promises to protect his people from harm. He hovers over us, shielding us from death and delivering us ultimately through his own death. And we can rest in his protection today. Grow in your walk with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants, this is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, don't call in today. Our team is away from the studio, but we did line up some questions that we will get to, and I'm confident you will enjoy them. You know, we hear from so many of you that tell us that God is at work through this ministry in your life, and we're so grateful. If you want to support our work here at Faith and Finance, the easiest way to do that is for you to become a FaithFi partner. Just head to faithfi.com and click Give, and as a way of encouraging you in your stewardship journey, we'll send you all kinds of resources every quarter. Just go to faithfi.com and click Give. Let's head to Park Rapids, Minnesota. Hi, Mark. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about, I'm in the midst of my retirement or death planning, I guess you would say, and wondering what criteria you use should be used for creating a trust versus just having a will.
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's one that does come up a lot. You know, a revocable trust can be a useful estate planning tool, especially if you want to be able to avoid probate. And so that's usually the primary reason that folks will use a revocable trust. It allows your assets to pass to beneficiaries without going through the probate process, which is costly and time consuming. It maintains privacy. So unlike a will, which is a part of the public record, a revocable trust would keep your affairs private. It allows for you to also control the distribution of the assets either before your death, but most certainly beyond it, where with a will, everything has to be distributed pretty much right away following the death as the estate is settled. Whereas with the revocable trust, you would have the ability to allow the assets of the trust to pass according to the trust documents, which might specify that that happens at a certain age or, you know, based on, completing college or, you know, over a period of time. And if there was a reason to do that, that could be, you know, helpful. It also allows the assets to be managed by the successor trustee without needing a court-appointed guardian if you become incapacitated. So it allows for, you know, that person to step in. You know, with a will, obviously, it's a lot simpler to set up, less costly. A trust would be probably $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. A will might be, you know, $500 or $1,000. But you don't have a lot of those features. You will go through probate. It is going to be a part of the public record. And there is no control that could, you know, start prior to death if you're incapacitated or beyond your death. So those would be the main issues there that someone, you know, would use a trust for. A lot of times if they have a good bit of real property, of real estate, you know, they might use a trust just to handle the efficient transfer of that property or properties upon their death. But if you have a fairly simple situation and none of those issues seem to apply that I mentioned, then, you know, a basic will would certainly cover it. And then you would put, you know, a beneficiary designation on any of your financial accounts. And you could even, depending on whether your state permits it, put a transfer on death deed in place for the house, which would allow you to avoid probate, you know, without the expense of a trust. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, yeah, both sides, I guess I've thought about both. But how much of this would just get transferred with the beneficiary? I only have two children, and it would be split amongst them, aside from my church giving that I would do or nonprofits. I guess I'm not sure then. Yeah, how much would transfer without going through probate if there is a beneficiary on it? Because, you know, all your investments, they all have who's your beneficiary, and I have annuities that have beneficiaries. When I die, yes, half of goes to each one of the kids or the wife. And so it's like, I'm not sure, does that cover that?
It really does. And so I think the bottom line is, given that your estate is fairly simple and most of the assets have beneficiary designations, which are going to pass outside of probate anyway, the will is really just the catch-all for anything else, personal property and furniture and personal effects, things like that. You could even put, and I did look it up while you were chatting there, the TOD, the transfer on death deed, is allowable in the state of Minnesota. So you could even put a transfer on death deed in place for your home. That's essentially the equivalent of a beneficiary designation for the house. And so now pretty much everything except, you know, a few items of personal property are taken care of, where everything's going directly. The will catches anything else. And now you really don't need the expense and complexity of setting up a trust.
What about, we do have some farm property that we rent it out, and if this was part of an inheritance, and the agreement was that we would get this property, but we would keep it in the family. So okay. I do want that transfer. I want that to stay in the family.
Yeah. And that might be where a trust could be pretty helpful, because you could put the you'd essentially retitle the farm property into you know, the name of the trust, and then you could designate that it's to, you know, stay in the family, and you'd have to specify what assets are going to be used to maintain it.
And so that is a way you could do that. You could also use the transfer on death deed there as well. So that allows you, you know, to designate the beneficiaries who would inherit that property. And with the farm property, you know, that would allow for the smooth transition of the land to the heirs. If you have multiple beneficiaries, you just have to recognize there may be disagreements with regard to the management or the sale of the property, and that's where a trust could be helpful. If you have minor beneficiaries, you know, you just need to understand the implications of that. So I think it really does come down to what ultimately do you want to have happen to the farm property beyond your life? Are you trying to control that, or are you really just passing it on to your heirs and trusting that they're going to make the decisions? But again, if it's more than one person, there is the potential that there's a disagreement, and that, you know, could create some challenges.
So it makes sense, because there are two, it would make sense probably to put, you know, decide one of them gets a property, farm property, and one of them gets a house that we live in.
Yeah, potentially you could do that. And, you know, in that way, they would each have their own. They don't have to come to that decision together. You know, the challenge is if everything is split and they have 50% ownership of a home and a farm, and one wants to keep it and one doesn't, now they're going to be forced, you know, to take out a mortgage in order to hang on to it because the other person wants to be able to liquidate it. So, yeah, I think these are all the decisions you need to talk through with an estate planning attorney who can really guide you in that, and then decide, you know, once you make your final decision on how you want it distributed, what is the simplest way to do that that's legal and cost effective? If a trust is necessary, great. If not, then skip it. And then the last piece is just the communication that you would have with your heirs, so that these things, you know, there aren't surprises at death, and you can explain the rationale and at the same time. Does that make sense?
Yes, very much so. Thank you. Okay. Very much.
You're welcome. If you need an estate planning attorney there in Minnesota, Mark, just connect with a certified Kingdom advisor on our website. You can do that at faithfi.com. Just click Find a Professional, and any one of those CKAs could refer you to a godly estate planning attorney. Thanks for your call today. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, and we'll be right back.
The mission of AFA is to inform, equip, and activate individuals and families to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and to give aid to the church here and abroad in its task in fulfilling the Great Commission. The vision of American Family Association is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training in the interest of cultural transformation.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
I am thoroughly looking forward to our Weekend with AFA coming up in October, where we're going to be able to meet our supporters like yourself, to fellowship, to visit our facilities here in Tupelo, and to have everyone come together for a wonderful weekend.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800
326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Let's head to the phones. Atlanta, Georgia is where James is located. Go right ahead.
Yes, hi. How you doing?
I'm well, sir. Thank you for calling.
Good, good. The reason I'm calling is I have a son who has basically separated himself from the family. He's told his mother and me that maybe it's time that we part ways because of disagreements or things that he thinks were disagreements. She had a phone call with him, and my son takes everything personally and can't seem to express himself. So what I wanted to call and ask about was, is there any biblical references in a situation where one would want to change their will, taking my son out of the will?
Yeah, yeah. Boy, this is a difficult one, James, and I don't think there's a right or wrong answer here. I think the key is James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously. And I think we need to be on our knees, and I'm sure you already have been, but I would just encourage you to continue in that, asking the Lord for real discernment and unity between you and your wife about whatever decision you would make, because this is a very important one. Is the next steward chosen and prepared? It's the last stewardship decision you will make as to who will be the next steward. And apart from the U.S. government, which is not really an issue for most folks unless you have a massive estate, it really comes down to how much do we leave to heirs and how much do we leave to ministry or charity. And I think there's good reason to do both. And it ultimately comes down to, you know, understanding what is the role of wealth in our lives. And, you know, really think about how God would have you to use this for his purposes, recognizing money as a tool. And to the extent you want to leave money, you know, the wealth is the fuel in the engine. And so it will propel, that heir's life in whatever direction they're already going. And so, you know, I think you need to think about how much is enough. And I think given the uniqueness of this situation, whether or not that is something that you and your wife want to do. And, you know, I think you need to play out that scenario. I mean, I think it's easier when it's somebody who's, going down a road away from the Lord to say, you know what, dropping a lot of money in that situation may propel them away from the Lord even quicker. Or if they're, you know, not demonstrating wise financial management, you know, that can be a little more clear as to what the decision would be. But if this is someone who's a Christ follower, there's obviously a strained relationship. Let's pray that that is restored and you can always, you know, change that decision. I think the key would just be, you know, what would ultimately point him back to Christ? And perhaps you, despite this rift, being lavish in your generosity, that might be a decision where you'd say, you know what, despite what has happened here, we're going to go ahead and continue with the way we had intended to leave the inheritance and bless this child with that money as the next steward and trust him with that beyond our lives as unto the Lord. Or no, there's reason that we're going to say, you know what, I believe the Lord is redirecting us to take this and, you know, give it away and put it into the kingdom. And I don't think, again, there's a right or wrong decision here. I think the key is just to think about the money as a tool. You are the steward. The Lord has entrusted it to you, to no one else. And so you need to make the decision on who the next steward will be and recognize that there are implications to that. You're not responsible for what the next steward does, but I think it is wise for you to use discernment as to, is that next steward prepared? And would it be a blessing and or, you know, perhaps that lavish, you know, act of generosity on your part, you know, redirect him back to the Lord, or even in communicating that to him, you know, that cause an opportunity for you all perhaps to lean into that and see some restoration. But I know I'm not giving you a definitive answer. Is that helpful at all, James?
Yes, it's helpful. The only thing is that we don't have a relationship anymore.
Yeah.
There's no contact.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, no contact. I get that, and I know that's difficult. Well, we're going to join you, and I'll ask the faith and finance community to join you in praying that we would see a change in that in the future. Let me do this. I think the best book on these hard decisions, and they can be hard, on the why of wealth transfer, not the mechanics and the legal instruments, but the why and the decision-making ahead of time, is a book called Splitting Heirs by Ron Blue. I'm going to send you a copy. I want you and your wife to work your way through it over the next several weeks, and let's just pray that God will use that to give you a decision here. Brian, you've been waiting patiently, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, Rob. I just got a quick question here about where to put our emergency fund. We have a money market account with a decent amount of money in. My wife's paycheck goes into that, and then we also pay our mortgage out of that. But I wondered if that was a safe place for it, or if there's a better option for, you know, holding our emergency fund.
Yeah, it's a great question. First of all, kudos to you for having an emergency fund. Second, I love that one of the paychecks is going straight into savings. That's always a good practice and a pretty good sign that you all are managing things well. I think you want two things, safety and you want return, right? You want yield. So as to the safety piece, money market mutual funds, if that's what it is, are fairly safe. I mean, the whole idea is that they're pegged to a dollar, and so they never, you know, lose value. They never go up or down above or below a dollar. They every now and then will, quote, break the buck. It doesn't happen often, but it can if one of these fails. And so you potentially have some risk there, although it's very low. What would be more safe would be a money market account, which carries the FDIC insurance, or just a high-yield savings account. So I would say, as to safety, if you could find something that has the FDIC insurance or the NCUA insurance for a credit union, that would be, you know, better. As to the yield, I would just make sure, you know, you're getting something that's competitive. And you could, you know, check bankrate.com just to see what the prevailing yields are. And what you would find is if you went there today, you know, you would find that the very best rates that are out there right now are around 4.5%. And so if you're in the neighborhood of 4.25 to 4.5, you're right there. So then it's just a matter of safety, and I'd be looking for that FDIC insurance. So, but other than that, keep up the good work, my friend. We appreciate your call today. More to come on Faith and Finance right after this. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Funds Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
It's critically important for Christians to be part of a local church. The question is, how do you evaluate a local fellowship? What are the qualities a church must have? And if you're currently attending a church with the wrong priorities, what should you do? Get answers today as John MacArthur continues showing you what to look for in a church on Grace to You.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Right now, more people than ever are looking for biblical wisdom to navigate their finances, and you can help meet that need. When you become a FaithFi partner, you're equipping believers to trust God, steward His resources well, and live with kingdom purpose. Partners receive early access to our newest resources, our quarterly Faithful Steward magazine, and the pro version of the FaithFi app. Become a FaithFi partner with your gift of $35 a month or $400 a year at faithfi.com/partner.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Feeling burdened by credit card debt? As faithful stewards, we are called to manage our finances wisely. Christian credit counselors can help with a debt management program that allows you to pay off debt up to 80% faster, while honoring your commitments with integrity. Don't let debt hold you back from the life God has planned for you. Take the first step toward peace and financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Let's head back to the phones. Pennsylvania is where we're headed next. Carolyn, how can I help you?
Hi. I am interested in knowing the advantages and disadvantages of creating a trust with money that we have after the passing of a loved one, as opposed to just investing the money in mutual funds.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm sorry to hear about the passing of your loved one. And, when it comes to a trust, that's really just the legal structure that will house the money. And you can have investments inside that trust. So you could put it into mutual funds or stocks or any kind of investment that you choose. And then at that point, you would decide whether those mutual funds or stocks sit in just a taxable brokerage account or whether you want to place them inside of a trust. Now, why would you do that? Well, it could ensure perhaps the long-term purposes that you have earmarked for the funds, offering control and flexibility beyond your life. So one of the primary reasons folks will use what's called a revocable trust, meaning you can change it at any time. You're not, giving away that asset permanently because of the revocable nature of it, is that those funds pass outside of probate. So they're not going to go through the probate court. They're not going to be a part of the public record, could be distributed privately. And there can be structured distribution. So depending on how you want this money to be distributed over time, that trust would ensure, based on the trust documents and the role of the trustee, the person or the institution that would be named to manage the trust, would distribute those assets according to the specific rules about how and when you want the money to be distributed. And that can go well beyond your life or your life and your husband. There can be some tax advantages, that type of thing, but that would be the primary reason that you would do it. So for instance, if you had charitable intentions and you wanted to honor this loved one's memory through charitable giving, either through a regular revocable trust or a charitable trust, it could be there to then distribute to causes or organizations meaningful to your loved one, again, even well beyond your life. So that would be the primary reason that you would want to do it. Does that make sense, though?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I think the question, well, let me ask, what are your intentions? How, you said you want to invest it, and how do you ultimately see using these funds? And do you have specific thoughts about the use of these funds, just given kind of where they originated?
At this point, we don't really. I guess that's something we just need to keep praying about.
Yeah, I think so. And perhaps this becomes a part of your bigger estate plan. A lot of folks with a fairly simple estate in terms of that wealth transfer decision, determining who will be the next steward, is that steward chosen and prepared? And when I say prepared, I mean, we want to make sure that whoever's receiving it, if it's, let's say, an heir, has you know, their wisdom with regard to handling it outpace this wealth that we're now going to drop in their lap? What about spiritual and financial maturity? Do you want it to go to ministries? I mean, really, charitable causes and heirs are the only two places it can go other than the U.S. government, and that's not a factor for most folks until you get above an estate of $13 million. So do you want to just handle that with a will where it all be distributed according to your wishes at death, or with the trust, do you want any portion of your estate, including these insurance proceeds, to be able to be distributed over time based on certain triggering events, things like that? That would be why you would want to put a trust in place, or just because you want to avoid probate. There is some cost there. It would probably run you several thousand dollars to put it in place, but it can be a very effective tool if that's ultimately what you're looking for.
Okay.
All right. Carolyn, thank you for your call. All the best to you. Let us know if we can help further. God bless you. Nashville, Tennessee. Jerry, go ahead.
Yes. I had a question about my rental property.
Okay.
And wanted to know, so I'm 60 and my wife is 63. She hadn't worked in several years. She is collecting retirement. On my rental property, I collect about $1,800. Now, it's worth about $400,000. And I owe about $60,000 on my current home that I live in. So I was wondering, would it be good to sell the rental and be debt-free, pay off a car or about $26,000 on and pay off the house? Or should I go ahead and continue to rent the property till I'm 65?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it sounds like a phenomenal investment. I mean, if you were to take that, pay it off, pay off the debt, and you were to invest that $340,000 that remained, you'd probably, you know, we would typically think about you being able to pull a withdrawal rate of about 4% a year on that, where when invested properly, you could maintain the $340,000 balance. The challenge is, you know, that's only $13,600 a year. And right now, you know, you're pulling in quite a bit more than that, about $22,000 a year on the $400,000 investment. So unless you just have a real conviction, Jerry, to be out of debt as soon as possible, and if you do, I'd say do whatever you have to do to pay it off. But apart from that, if you're comfortable just continuing to pay off this $60,000 mortgage on your primary residence out of existing current cash flow, and just maybe setting a goal to have it paid off by the time you enter retirement, assuming you're not there yet, then, you know, having this home that's throwing off, you know, good rental income, as long as it's not a burden on you to kind of maintain it and keep up with it, I think it's a great way to diversify your investments among, you know, multiple asset classes, including real estate, which, you know, heeds the wisdom of Ecclesiastes 11:2 around diversification, and gives you a nice rental, you know, income stream, perhaps more than you might reasonably expect if that same money was invested in the stock market. Do you follow all that, though?
Yes, I do. I do. So right now it's fairly a new home, so I don't foresee any cost to maintain it.
Yeah.
And so I think I will just continue to rent it.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Again, unless there was any kind of unnecessary burden you were experiencing, or you were just saying, listen, I just don't have the energy to kind of keep up with this, make sure it stays rented, deal with the maintenance issues if somebody moves out, or you just really felt like the Lord was leading you to be debt-free ASAP. Apart from that, this sounds like a great option for you, and you can always sell it down the road.
Okay, well, I appreciate your advice.
All right. Absolutely, sir. Lord bless you. Thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're up against another break here in just a second. When we come back, we'll head back to the phones. We've got a few more calls holding. Bob in St. Louis. We've got John, who's driving in Chicago. John, you be safe. We'll get to you here in just a second. And let's see, Key in Flintstone, Georgia as well. We're hearing from a lot of folks saying, all right, this is the year I am going to get on a budget and I'm going to stick to it, because you know what? It's not enough for me to get all the expenses on a piece of paper and stick it in a drawer. Well, that's why we built the FaithFi app. Julie and I use it just about daily to make sure we're staying on budget with our digital envelopes, and at any point in the month, we can see exactly where we stand. When my 15-year-old Emma says, "Hey, Dad, what do I have left in the clothing category this month?" I got that answer, and she doesn't always like it. If you want to check it out, head to our website, faithfi.com. Just click app. We'll be right back with our final segment.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
The term providence means God's superintending care over his creation.
America's Providential History with Stephen McDowell.
God is at work performing his will in history. And so through this podcast, we're going to be taking a look at the providence of God in the history, and in particular in the history of America.
America's Providential History, available now on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
I'm grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Sit back and enjoy. We're going to cover a lot of ground here in our final segment. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Let's go right back to the phone, St. Louis, Missouri. Bob, how can I serve you?
Thanks a lot for taking my phone call, Brother Rob, and God bless
you. Thank you very much.
The question I have is that I'll give it to you in a real quick note here. I've been retired for a year now from the federal government at the VA. My wife passed away a few years ago, and so I ended up giving the house to our son, and it was this is the bad stuff. I ended up giving a lot of money on, a lot of money to me was $50,000 and more to some other family members. So my question is this: I have I make $70,000 through disability annuity and my SSDI. I was no longer able to work at the VA due to my service being blown up. So and I have $50,000 at a TSP. And I'm a renter right now, so I'm not living in a home. And my rent is with utilities, and the rent is around $1,500. Now, with that, I'll conclude just by saying that I also made the mistake and got $9,000 in debt, which I'm paying off through a company called National Debt Relief. And that should, you know, that should want to pay that off. I'm just, my question is, should I use, I haven't used my VA loan, or would that be a good investment, or should I just stay renting?
Yeah. Well, thank you for your service, and I appreciate that description of your situation here. You know, the challenge is just, you know, I appreciate how generous you've been with family members, but it sounds like you don't have, other than a great income, and you're living modestly, and that's going to last the rest of your life, you really don't have much to put toward a down payment, although with the VA, you know, you could get 100% financing. But I'm understanding correctly that you don't have anything to put toward the home, is that right?
Well, I have $10,000 in savings, but that's just it. And then I have $50,000 in my TSP account, which I've refused to touch that. And then as far as like the life insurance policies and the other stocks and our portfolio when she passed away, I just was in a bad spot for quite a while. Still am. So I'm needing some help on your side of the fence as far as, you know, if there's some good investments with the simple Roth IRA. And I just listened to how you and your family use your budgeting deal and anything you can help. And I'd like to give back to you, to your organization too, as well. I'm a faithful listener.
Well, thanks, Bob. I appreciate that. Here's the thing. I mean, I think you're doing a great job. I'd be happy to help by providing you with a certified Christian financial counselor who could help get all the pieces in place, help you set up your budget. You could use the FaithFi app to do that, help you get into a good rhythm on a monthly basis of tracking your expenses and your income and just staying on plan. I think the challenge with trying to buy a house is, you know, if you're trying to get $1,500 a month all in, including utilities, you're probably talking about a $175,000 home with 0% down, because I don't want you to chew up all that, you know, reserve that you have, because I want you to hang on that for your emergency fund. But it's going to be difficult to find a home for $175,000 in today's housing market. And I don't want you to stretch. Now, you may say, well, I could do more than that. I mean, I'd be comfortable with you going up to, you know, maybe 30% at the most of your take-home pay. I mean, that would be $1,750 for principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, but you got to make the budget balance. Now, if you could get up that high, I mean, maybe we're talking about a home that's maybe $225,000, you know, with 0% down because you have the VA. All of a sudden, now we're at $1,700 a month, probably with property taxes and insurance, and then you'd have your utilities on top of that. So I think that's the key, is, you know, you could start looking around and seeing if you could find something. But apart from that, I don't want you to eat up all that, you know, liquid reserve, and I don't want you to get too stretched too thin on your, you know, monthly budget. I want you to be, you know, have plenty to live within your means and avoid taking on any debt. And if that means you continue to rent, I think so be it. Does that make sense?
It does. And I appreciate that, that insight as far as having a faith and finance advisor.
Yeah. So let's do this. As far as getting that Roth in place and having some ideas on what investments to put that in, I would head and check out our friends at soundmindinvesting.org. The Sound Mind Investing newsletter, which is available online as well, will give you, through their upgrading strategy, all the funds that you could put the money in and change them out periodically. And it was founded by Austin Pryor, who was a good friend of Larry Burkett back in the day. It's a great organization. And for do-it-yourselfers who are just starting out, it kind of takes all the guesswork out, because they give you the mutual funds that you'd buy in your 401k. So that's soundmindinvesting.org. And then you stay on the line. We'll get you connected with one of our certified Christian financial counselors. That'll be no cost to you. We'll cover that. And that person will help you get it set up on the FaithFi app, get your budget set up, and I think that'll get you pointed in the right direction. Hey, thanks for your kind remarks about the program, sir, and Lord bless you. Thanks for being on the show today. To Chicago, John, thanks for your patience. How can I help?
Okay, I have a Roth IRA that I formed from a 403B annuity a couple years ago. I'm 73 years old and will be 74 in a couple months. At what point does the RMD apply to my Roth?
Never. Yeah, a Roth IRA, as long as it is a Roth, if it was a Roth TSP and you did a rollover to an IRA or something like that, the Roth is not subject to the required minimum.
So I'm never required to make a distribution?
That's correct. You could leave that money right there and pass it down if you wanted to.
Okay, and how, I'm retired, I have Social Security and a retirement pension. I do have occasionally profits from a book that I published, and on occasion I do workshops. Am I able to make contributions to my Roth from those profits?
Yes, you just have to have earned income. in order to be able to contribute to a Roth. There is no age limit. And so earned income is taxable income from wages you get for working from someone else or for yourself or from a business, as opposed to unearned income, which is not as a result of wages or salaries or tips or something like that. So, yes, if you have earned income, you can keep putting money into that Roth IRA and never have to pull it out. Thanks for calling, John. We're going to finish in Waukegan, Illinois. David, go ahead, sir.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. My wife just passed within the last 2 weeks.
Oh, David.
And I haven't paid a bill in 25 years. I basically, she took care of everything. I don't really have a budget of any type. Before she passed of cancer. We tried to reach out to a CKA, and we didn't get anywhere with that. And I just don't know where to turn. I've shut down some credit cards, and I've been told not to shut down too many credit cards at one time.
Yeah, yeah.
And
boy,
I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, we're going to help you, David. First of all, I am so sorry to hear about your wife's passing. You're going through a really difficult season right now. We're going to ask the Faith and Finance community to be praying for you. I'll certainly join you in that. I realize you were not the one who handled things. And so we need to get somebody to come alongside you who can help you put all the pieces in place. The biggest thing right now is not to make any major life decisions, but to keep everything paid and current. And then we'll settle into a new rhythm here with regard to managing your finances. What I'm going to have you do here in just a second is hold the line. And I'm going to have one of my team members get your name and information, and we're going to get you connected to one of our certified Christian financial counselors. This is going to be somebody who's trained in all the things you just described, spending plans, budgets, how to manage debt, how to, you know, control the flow of money in and out, getting everything kind of, you know, in place with regard to understanding what are your assets and your liabilities. And then on a monthly rhythm moving forward, you know, how do you operate and set up a plan that works for you and your temperament and your wiring? We're not trying to make you an accountant, but we want to, you know, get you into a good rhythm where everything's current and you've got a good system. And that's where they can walk alongside you over several meetings via the phone or, you know, a video conference. And as long as we need to, we'll walk alongside you until you feel like you're in a good place. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, David. Happy to do it. And I'm going to pray for you here in just a second. But David, listen, our hearts go out. The Lord is going to walk alongside you. We're going to pray the Holy Spirit would be really near to you. And we know the Lord has told us in his word, he's close to the brokenhearted. And we're going to walk with you financially. And we're going to get you to a place where there's not a lot of questions anymore, but you've got a good plan and a good rhythm for how you're going to manage things moving forward. And then we know that God has more in store for you before we all reunite with those that we love in heaven someday. Listen, hang on the line. We'll get your information, get you connected. Father, we just lift David up to you. We know, Lord, he is in a difficult spot right now. Thank you for the hope of heaven. Thank you that we know that those who know and have placed their trust in you are with you, absent from the body, present with you, our Father. Lord, we long for that day to be reunited with you first and foremost, but with those that we love as well. I pray that you'd walk alongside him, you'd be near to him, bring just a multitude of people around him that can love him and encourage him, and that through FaithFi, we'd be able to help him financially as well. Thank you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, David. Let me say thanks. Thankful for Sandy and Taylor and Devin and everybody here at FaithFi. Certainly couldn't do this without them and without each of you listening and calling. So thanks for being a part of the broadcast today. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.